Weekend.
Now, 7 after the hour, we continue the Good Day Weekend program with a focus on food. And here to help us with that is the supermarket guru himself. You can be the first to know which new products are out there by checking in with Phil Leppert and the supermarketguru.com. Daily news flashes every day. He is here as he was last week. I understand you spent a lot of time in the slime wad department last week without my benefit or the benefit of me wanting to. Well, you didn't need me to get onto this cataclysmic outrage.
Well, you know, we had a lot of listeners around the country who were very passionate about it. And, you know, for me, Doug, this is the tipping point. We have talked so long about people wanting to know where their foods are coming from, what's in their foods, and so on.
Right.
And in my opinion, it wasn't until pink slime, you know, hit the headlines, if you would, that people really came out of their, you know, boredom and said, we want to know what's in there. And if you take a look just this past week, we had, you know, the whole BPA nonsense with the government, number one. So we have all these groups now, you know, trying to fight that. We had the chicken with salmonella and everything else that's in chicken story. And I think we're just going to see, you know, day after day, more illuminating evidence about what's in our food supply. And frankly, I think that's terrific. My fear is that, you know, people are going to not really understand it, and they're going to go from one extreme to another, so that we're not going to eat just all, you know, highly processed food from McDonald's, if you would, but we're going to go out and try to grow our own stuff.
Well, let's talk about that, because there are a lot of people who are interested in growing their own. Sometimes people want to have their own animals, like chickens, that kind of stuff. They want the eggs, they want to eat the chicken, the turkeys, it's not like you'd grow a cow, probably in your backyard, but there are more and more people who, I think this is a great thing when it comes to vegetables, teaching people, children, about the value of growing, see how it works, but I think it's a little dicey when it comes to things like chickens.
Absolutely. And in fact, just this past week, Williams and Sonoma, the retailer, has put together an assortment. I think it's 275 items so that you could be your own farmer, if you would. So they're selling, for example, for $400 chicken coops, either in red or in green.
Do you know how silly that is? Really is.
Oh, it's absurd. Silly. People are going to waste money. They're going to be unfair to the animals. They're going to get sick because, you know, farming is a profession. And, you know, you just can't put a chicken coop in your backyard and have a half a dozen chickens and, you know, wait for the eggs to come and say, wow, you know.
Right, you can, but it won't be. You're going to frustrate. But you frustrate yourself. You can. It's an amazingly. Plus the fact that especially with things like chickens, they are dirty animals. And
yes,
there are all kinds of things that they can attract or bring, and just it's not a good idea. Growing food, grow veggies, stay away from the animals. That would
absolutely
be my advice. Yeah. And I find somebody named Scott Cruz, who listens to us every weekend, said, we appreciate your program very much. You express and expound on many of the things we're involved in. Slow food, support the sustainability of agriculture. We have a large organic garden, work with the slow food movement, make every effort to support the local economy. We attend Slow Food Film Festival last week in Sacramento. Local organic farmers who are making a difference, featured on video and in person. Organic pastures in Fresno distributed free raw milk. We are longtime members of the Sierra Nevada Alliance, a consortium of 100 member groups that support the local economy, work towards sustainability of ecosystems. Now, the reason that's good, this fellow's name is Scott Cruz. He's a biophysical geographer, he says. An interesting title.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. Maybe, Scott, if you're listening, would you help us understand what you do for a living? Yeah. But anyway, this is something sort of on the heels of what we were just saying about growing your own. There's a difference between an organic garden, shall we say, and trying to raise these animals. And by the way, this is the way it was 100 years ago. All of our ancestors had their own cow or two. They had chickens, they had ducks, but they had land. If you don't have any land, and that's why I think Phil and I would be opposed to you doing this, it takes land. And if you're living in a suburban area where the houses are on top of each other, you got to be crazy. First of all, your neighbors will hate you, but it's just foolish. It's not like the days when you could, if you had some land, have these things around. That's the difference.
Well, there was a story in Long Island Newsday, I want to say about 6 or 9 months ago, that a whole bunch of people got together and they were, you know, putting chickens in their backyards and so on. And the city that they lived in, I forgot which city it was, actually made them get rid of it because of the zoning ordinances, because of, you know, the food safety and problems that you have. You know, if you're going to do this, you've got to be serious about it. It is, I don't want to say it's a full-time job, but it's a major commitment.
Yeah, it is. And it is not just this, it's not an easy thing. It's just, you need to understand what you're getting into before you get into it. If you've got land and the resources, that's one thing. But just to put them in your backyard, we had a guy in my town of Framingham, Massachusetts, who basically did the same thing. He went to the Board of Health and asked him if he could have permission to keep 18 chickens in his backyard. The neighbors didn't want him to, but he didn't have any land.
Right.
You got to have some land.
You want eggs, go to a supermarket.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Right.
There's enough.
Don't be sorry.
There's enough there.
Yeah, they have, right. All right. So we're having a conversation with Daniel Imhoff in a few minutes. What's the scoop?
Well, he's written a book called Food Fight, and it's basically a guide to the Farm Bill. And, you know, you are very familiar with the Farm Bill, but most consumers are not. And really understanding where all this money goes, $25 billion a year is what the Farm Bill is all about. We've got these check-off programs like beef and other commodities where basically every time that we buy, you know, some kind of meat, there's money that gets put into a fund that then that money is used to advertise to us to get us to buy more beef. And a lot of people are suggesting that, number one, those commodities that have these check-off programs are the foods that we shouldn't be eating. You know, all the reports that come out that say eat less beef and so on.
Yep.
So the question is whether or not this time around with the Farm Bill we're going to see major changes. So Daniel can help us figure that out.
99.9% of the Grainger products you order are shipped the same day. And 99% of our customers think that's great. But if you're part of the 1% minority that thinks this is too fast, here are some ways you can slow us down. Talk slower on the phone. Order in a language only you understand. Have your order shipped to a houseboat, then move the houseboat. Or my personal favorite, order a trillion of something. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Are you struggling each month to make ends meet? Could an extra $1,000 help you out today? Would restructuring your credit card debt into a lower, more manageable payment make life easier? Well, there is hope. A national consumer advocacy network comprised of lenders and professional credit advisors is ready to help you. Just text the word FREE to 20300 for instant information on programs that can help you. Text the word FREE to 20300 right now. Message and data rates may apply.
Look, it's Lord Horsey.
They say he has instant access to a wealth of entertainment, a most appropriate suitor.
He is of Netflix. Lavishes $8 a month on thousands of TV episodes and movies.
I heard he watches them over the internet.
Pish posh, it's the 1700s. Internet doesn't exist yet.
Oh, do hush, child.
Instantly watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on all kinds of devices for only $8 a month with Netflix. Start your free trial today. See terms of use.
If you have gout, listen closely. That's the sound of gout silently attacking joints between flares. You won't hear it, and you may not feel it, but if your uric acid level remains high, crystals can continue to build up in your joints. Over time, this may lead to attacks in other joints, constant pain, and joint destruction. So don't wait. For more information, go to goutinfo.com and talk with your doctor about ways to keep your uric acid at a lower, healthy level.
Welcome to Domino's.
I'm here to pick up my order at the most bestest deal ever. The Monday through Wednesday, $7.99 carryout deal.
One large pizza with up to three toppings for just $7.99.
Jinx!
You're pretty serious about this deal.
I even named my kid Domino's Monday through Wednesday carryout deal.
My name's Lauren, Dad.
Just until those legal documents clear.
The Domino's Monday through Wednesday carryout deal. When you get a large pizza with up to three toppings for just $7.99, it's easy to get carried away. Carryout only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Price, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary. Each dish may be extra. Domino's. Oh, yes, we did.
I believe I can do anything. So when it came to learning a new language, I knew I had to do it the way I learn. No books, no memorizing or translating. I wanted to learn the same way I learned my first language, naturally. That's why I chose Rosetta Stone.
Rosetta Stone invites you to be a part of its biggest language learning event in history. Because in 2012, we want to help 3 million people learn a new language. That's why we're going to give you an absolutely free demo of our language immersion technology. To participate in this free nationwide event, just call 1-800-507-5898.
Si yo puedo hacerlo, usted puede hacerlo. If I can do it, you can do it.
To participate in this free nationwide event, call now for your free demo from Rosetta Stone. Call 1-800-507-5898. That's 1-800-507-5898.
By the way, the amount of money represented by the Farm Bill is 0.6% of the federal budget. When you get right down to brass tacks, look at the money we spend. What is it? 30% of the budget is for defense.
Yep.
Look at the way, the interesting discussion here, and maybe it's not necessarily appropriate for our food discussion, but for people to think about how the budget is broken down, where we spend our money, it's pretty obscene, actually, when you get right down to it. The Farm Bill, by the way, has been a problem for years, because, as usual, the big corporate farm organizations are the ones that get all the money, and they're the ones that don't need it. It's a small family farmer who's gotten screwed around, not just necessarily by the kinds of government programs that have been around, but the farmers don't want really the government involved. The government gets in the way, especially in dairy, of farmers making a profit and being able to sell their milk for what it's actually worth, because the big growers, the big producers like Suiza, Dean Foods, they get their lobbyists to go to the people who are on the committees, and they say, oh, we got to have this and we got to have that. And so they artificially cut the value of the milk, and the subsidies that are therefore around aren't enough to keep the farmers in business. That's why the small family farmer who had maybe 100, 200 cows is long gone. And you see these disgusting, as I was driving across the country this week, reminded again about how disgusting the conditions are that most dairy animals live in. These 5,000 cow facilities right next to the interstate, you can smell them for 10 miles before you get there and smell them for 10 miles after you leave. They are filthy, atrocious, horrible remnants of an industry that was so well run, and now it's been destroyed, and they're the ones that get the subsidies, and Cargill and ADM and these other people that own these big grain concerns and are buying the grains from far, they get all of the subsidies. And that's what the fight is about, I think, if I'm understanding.
We need to get you a lobbyist, that's all.
I lobby. But, you know, interesting, I belong to the National Farmers Union, and I went to Washington as a lobbyist last September and met 8 congressmen, and it was one of the most interesting experiences of my life, understanding how the lobbying works. We went to chiefs of staff. We actually met with congressmen. We told them our story. Some of them were interested, tuned in. Others were completely tuned out and uninterested. And you could see it depended on who it was. It wasn't that they weren't engaged or needed sort of to know. These were all people who were on the Agriculture Committee, and you could tell by talking to them whether or not they were in the pocket of the big farm concerns. So, Phil Lempert, pretty interesting stuff. Phil Lempert at supermarketguru.com. You can get to him that way. It's 21 after on the Good Day Weekend program.
And now another CentOS Game Changer with sports broadcaster Aaron Andrews.
I'm down in the main ballroom of a 4-star hotel in Austin with Tom, the GM. Tom, you've had 4 wedding receptions in 3 days. That's a brutal schedule.
Yeah, we've been hustling.
Well, your team still looks fresh, and I gotta say, the carpet does too. Talk about your game plan.
Simple. We caught in the all-star team from CentOS, and they changed our ground game completely.
CentOS. They're known for uniforms. How do they tackle your floors?
Their tile and carpet deep cleaning service makes our flooring look like new. With our old playbook, we used to rip out the carpet. So we're running with CentOS from now on.
Thanks, Tom. And thanks to CentOS, there's plenty of life left in this dance floor. Let's go up to the booth.
Tile and carpet cleaning is one of the many expert services the CentOS team can tackle for your business. Don't replace your tile or carpets. Call 1-800-CINTAS6 or visit CentOS.com/radio and tell them to bring in the team with the white truck.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
It's 23 past the hour on the Good Day Weekend program with Phil Limpert. If you're making a breakfast, are you doing it with your family's well-being and health in mind, or are you doing the weekend thing? Is different sometimes. I'm actually a little less careful. Monday through Friday, my routine when I'm on the air, I have lots of fruits, as aforementioned, and yogurt and things that will carry me through the 6 hours that I'm on the air. And then I'll generally have, before the morning is up, a bowl of some kind of a good, healthy cereal. Yesterday I had granola, and I used my raw milk. Mm-hmm. And that's what keeps me. And then I didn't eat anything again until last night. I had a Lara bar. And by the way, that's another thing. Can we spend a minute, as the supermarket guru, you examine everything that's up and down the aisles. Mm-hmm. And now more and more, there are bigger sections devoted to, I don't even want to call them snacks. They're supposed
bars.
To be
just specifically bars.
The bars.
By the way, Lara bar, I don't want to upset you. It's designed for women. That's a woman's product.
What do you mean? Am I going to grow breasts?
Same company. Cliff Bar is man.
Mm. No.
Going up and down the mountains. Lara Bar is, you know.
Lara Bar is gluten-free, and that's why I like it. Plus, I like the taste of their...
I agree. It's a great product.
It's gluten-free. That was another thing. Oh, my God. Going through the supermarket the other day, I went to the gluten-free aisle, figuring, okay,
I
could...
The whole store is gluten-free.
And by the way, I wasn't alone in this experience. Yeah. My daughter was with me. As this is more interesting, the plot thickens here. My daughter.
Now you bought for two.
Well, My daughter is on the phone with me. My daughter is in a Trader Joe's in Hollywood.
Right.
And I'm in a Roach Brothers supermarket in Natick, Massachusetts. So we're 3,000 miles away. She's shopping at Trader Joe's, and I'm going through. And when we really started to get down to the nitty gritty, I was in the gluten-free zone. And I was trying to convince her that it was a good idea for me to buy some cookies that were gluten-free because, of course, they're going to be much better for you than the cookies
Not true.
Of course it's not true. And Megan says to me, Dad, you're going to eat these cookies. There's sugar in them, all that other stuff. There's nothing to be gained other than you won't burp if you eat these cookies because that's what gluten does. It makes me gaseous. Too much information? It is what it is.
But, you know, we've got to think about our foods holistically. We can't think about one nutrient to avoid or one nutrient to encourage. So you have all these people now overpaying for gluten-free everything that, frankly, you know, if they just ate right and had a little intelligence about it, they'd be fine. They don't have to waste all that money.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh. Why didn't you tell me that before I went to the supermarket?
You didn't tell me you were, because the first thing I would have said is make a list.
Here's what we're going to do. Next time I go, next time I have the urge, I'm calling you.
Good. Okay.
Have your cell phone handy, because I'm going to call you next time I'm in the supermarket, and I can figure out what to avoid. And you can have the same help, too. Go to philssupermarketguru.com, where he evaluates all kinds of new products every week. What have you evaluated this week, by the way?
I have no idea.
Oh, perfect.
No. No, could I actually do them about, I want to say, 3 weeks ahead?
Oh.
So, this week up on the site is Nate's Meatless Meatballs, which are actually pretty good. It only got a rating of 82 because they are expensive, but the meatball was terrific. You would think that it was beef. Then there's this corn cob syrup. Crow Family Farms corn carb syrup. I didn't like this. You know, they make a claim on the label that once you try this, it's made from brown sugar and corn cob extract. You'll never go back to maple syrup.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm never going back to corn carb syrup. Nabisco has come out with this new product called Belvita Breakfast Biscuits. It's a hit. It's great. The name is horrible. Belvita. Come on. You know, yes, I understand it's supposed to mean beautiful life, but the biscuits are much better than the brand name. Then we've got, just for you, Canyon Bakehouse gluten-free bread, cinnamon raisin, and it's absolutely terrific, matter of fact. That got a 90 for us, one of the best breads I've tasted in a long time, and our highest score of the week is on Wild Planet Foods Wild Abacore Tuna Filets. Now, these are pieces of tuna. They're packed in premium Spanish olive oil. It is delicious.
Is it?
Absolutely
and
delicious.
And good for you.
Oh, very
good. The right oils
for you.
And all that stuff. I don't worry about mercury with that product, I'm guessing. So, good. We got other great stuff. Good Day Weekend with Phil Lempert, the supermarket guru.
Jim is building a bridge to nowhere. Jim's wife worries he's in over his head. But Jim is positive he can build the best bridge to nowhere ever built. Clearly, sanity is not on Jim's side. But time is. Because Jim's working with Craftsman Hand Tools. They have a lifetime warranty, so they can last forever. Which means Jim can build something that takes forever. Perhaps a bridge to nowhere seems ambitious, but Jim is confident he can get there. He's already got 150 feet done, which leaves only infinity to go. And that feels pretty good. Jim knows his bridge to nowhere is going nowhere fast. According to our calculations, if Jim keeps at it, he'll be done sometime between 4 and ever. Fortunately, Craftsman Hand Tools let you work forever. Craftsman. Trust in your hands.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain. Not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkyDD.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection guaranteed or your money back.
The summer specials are on at HHA.
Herbal Healer Academy. Current customers know this is the time to save big at herbalhealer.com. And new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Right now, Herbal Healer's summer specials include our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Liquid CalMag Vitamin D and Organic Iodine, CoQ10 with Hawthorn, Colon Enhancer, Super 2, Natural Laxative, our exceptional product Tonixin, Memory Power, and Super Male and Femplex, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. Also get 10% off on the Herbal Healer Academy Survival Course, information that might save your life. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on to our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy at herbalhealer.com.
37 things to hoard. Do you have the 37 crucial food items you can't survive without? When the next disaster hits and the mobs go crazy grabbing food off the shelves, you and your family may be without food or waiting in long food lines. Prepare now at 123survivalplan.com. Easy as 123 to remember. 123survivalplan.com. Many people don't have these 37 food items. Learn what you need to hoard now at 123survivalplan.com. Watch the video we've set up for Patriots only at 123survivalplan.com. Get inside information on the 37 food items that will sell out first when the next disaster strikes. This video contains crucial information you and your family need to prepare for any natural or man-made disaster. In the last 6 months, over 1 million other smart patriots have already seen this video. Prepare now. Go to 123survivalplan.com and learn which 37 food items you should hoard. Easy to remember, 123survivalplan.com. Again, that's 123survivalplan.com.
All right, 33 after the hour. Good day, weekend. Phil Leppard, the supermarket guru, is here. You are invited and encouraged to check out his website, supermarketguru.com. He travels all around the country and around the world delivering information to people who are studying your buying habits when it comes to groceries and the food industry in general, what the good foods are. His picks and misses are, hits and misses rather, available every weekend and actually during the week as well at supermarketguru.com. Joining us now is Daniel Imhoff, who's the author of a book called Food Fight, The Citizen's Guide to the Next Food and Farm Bill. Mr. Imhoff, thank you for joining us. Let's give people who are listening a little background into not only the import, import of the food or the farm bill, but what's the history of this? Why do we have a farm bill to begin with?
The farm bill started way back in the Depression and the Dust Bowl era. So it was a time when one out of every three Americans was out of work. Many of them were very hungry, and the soil was literally blowing away. And if you remember the Grapes of Wrath and the history of America, that's when there was this great transformation in our farming system, and the tractors were coming on the land, and the sharecroppers and the tenant farmers and the family farmers were really beginning to move off. And the government decided that they had no choice with these huge problems in agriculture and hunger to play a big role in the food system. And that's really the origin of the Farm Bill, both creating ways to distribute surplus food, give food stamps and nutrition assistance to the needy, and then also develop programs to help farmers conserve the land, keep the soil from blowing away, get credit, make sure that they could have fair prices. And you know, when you look at it, it's the government's chance to try to make right the food system, and especially make right things that the market doesn't make right.
So that was then, and now is now. This was an FDR sort of New Deal era proposal and enactment that did help in areas that we needed help. So what's happened to the Farm Bill over the years?
It's changed amazingly. I mean, just as our as our society's changed. Back in the Depression, there were about six and a half million family farmers, and the farms were small and they were diversified. They had crops and row crops and cash crops and orchards and honeybees and animals, livestock, it was a very, very different farming system than we have today. Over the last 70 years, 80 years, what we've seen is, especially big commercial agriculture has become very capitalized. It's become very dependent upon bigger and more advanced technological machinery and huge applications of chemicals that allow farmers to get these big yields. But also we've seen, we're down to about 300,000 farmers now that really put out the bulk of the food that's produced in America, at least by dollar amount. And the Farm Bill has a huge impact in what kind of agriculture system we have on the land, just by the sheer amounts of money and research and assistance that it puts out there into the market.
Well, I'm a dairy farmer. I don't know if you knew that or not when you went into this. I am not only a broadcaster, but I'm a legitimate dairy farmer. I'm a hands-on dairy farmer. I have a farm in eastern Massachusetts in a town called Framingham that I'm trying to save mightily in a land area that has the acreage worth $250,000 an acre. It's an uphill battle. I'm not saying that because I'm just sticking out my chest and saying, aren't I a great guy? I grew up around cows, been around the dairy all my life, wanted to save it in this area because people have come around by the thousands in the last couple of years, basically resisting or rebelling against the current system, which basically produces garbage. And the government, in my estimation, is the promoter of this garbage by getting into bed with these big agribusinesses, as you've suggested. 300,000-400,000 people are responsible for doing what 98% of the population used to do. Now it's down to like less than 2% of the population grows the food for our country and many areas in the world. And these farm bills have been responsible for manipulating the system to the benefit of the big companies and keeping the small family farmers either down or out. There's no better place than looking at dairy to understand that. And I wondered if you've analyzed the current farm bill and what you think is the what do you read into the priorities as set forth, at least at the beginning?
Well, the current farm bill expires on September 30th of this year, and then it either has to be extended or it reverts back to the 40s, but they never let that happen. And so this is why it's really important for people to begin to get up to speed, learn about it, and find out exactly what it's at stake. I mean, you know, when it comes right down to it, this is an issue of money in politics. And what the ag committees are trying to do right now is to perpetuate this system of big guys,
right,
and just making sure the big guys stay in control, as you've just described. And I think our job as people who care about a healthy food system and a different food system, we really need to begin to look at the Farm Bill as one of these huge intervention points in the food system. And just because so much money and so much of the rules really are written in this annual bill.
And if there's any example,
what Big Ag will do is try to hide behind little guys like you and say they're really supporting the family farm, and in fact, they're really behind this huge concentration of production, which doesn't help anyone.
No, it spoils the system. Phil, do we have you back again? I'm not sure whether we have Phil connected or not. We lost him there for a minute. Do we have you back? Apparently, we don't have him back. Okay. So, and the essence of the bill and how it affects the average person, you are paying taxes every year. You need to procure food. You want to stay healthy. And many of the things that are in these bills are dictated by, as you've suggested, Mr. Imhoff, the big conglomerates, Cargill, ADM, that ilk, Monsanto on the other side, and Dow Chemical. These people all have their lobbyists, and they all want to get their piece of the pie. And so the whole thing's been distorted. But the local herbivore movement has taken such I just see it in my dairy farm, and you see it around with the guys that are the smaller farmers who are growing produce, and people go, and they're happy to support it. Now the education process begins so that people can understand and get to the legislature. We need small groups to go before Congress and these committees and tell them, give them what for, and tell them that we're not going to accept anymore the way that they have rationed out the money to help people who are already cajillionaires.
Yeah, public opinion is racing so far ahead of policy in this area, and you have cities that are really concerned, and they're also revitalized by this locavore movement. So they need jobs, they have nutrition problems, they're feeding kids in school, but at the same time they're seeing their farmers' markets are exploding. They have farms in the city, they have farmers just outside the city who have these really vital new markets and ways to get food to consumers. And I think, you know, the city of Seattle has really led the way, where they bought a whole bunch of my books a couple of years ago. They got together in a group, and then their city council passed its own principles that say, we want this kind of healthy farm bill. Mm-hmm. And those principles were then adopted by the National League of Cities. And I consider that a real model to find a way outside the system and have cities begin to talk to their representatives and say, look, you got to tell these ag committee members that this same old farm bill isn't going to support the kinds of things that we need in cities, the farm bill, the food bill. It's not just a legislation for a bunch of people in Iowa, and Louisiana that grow corn and cotton and rice and wheat and soybeans. This is an issue that affects everybody in every city, and it's our food system. It's the 21st century now. We really have to get things right.
Well, in the essence of getting things right, if you understand, and I don't like to sound like the angry old guy here, but it is so obvious what's going on, and it's pervasive. The fact that this week the CDC was told by a judge that they better enforce the antibiotic laws, the rules they put into effect in the 1970s, for God's sakes, they hadn't done it because once the rules were promulgated, the people that want to see antibiotics used, especially in the beef industry, to grow the animals faster, got in the way and kept the CDC from enforcing it. If you don't
antibiotics, they're again, that's one more of those crucial intervention points into the system. If you take away the antibiotics, they can't have 100,000 cows in a feedlot. They can't have 2,500 sows that are trapped in these cages that are make them just piglet machines, right? They have to suddenly get to this issue of scale, of animal welfare, of dealing with waste, and so many of the issues that are just, you know, incumbent upon this industrial system that we've got and that you seem to be against.
I am. I'm completely. As a matter of fact, I was just taking notes as you were talking. I'm a member of the Agricultural Commission in the town where I live, and we have what remaining farmers in the town. We're all on this commission, and I'm just thinking to myself, we need to have a meeting. We need to come forth with a statement. We need to go to the selectmen. We need to urge them to take a stand, and this would be in the media. Certainly, people come around that, and folks therefore know they call their congressman, and they say, look, this is not what we want. This is what we want, and that's the way you do it. You stir the pot from the grassroots, and it builds back up again. But you're facing unbelievable odds because there's so much money on the other side. And I use this. I sell raw milk on my farm, and the fact that people don't understand there are two kinds of raw milk produced: one that goes to the plant to be pasteurized, and other raw milk is produced by people who are of conscience and know how to do a good, clean product, and aren't the ones that are responsible for the problems that the news media wants you to know about. This kind of stuff is so obvious in the way it's connected. I use in the dairy industry at Dean Foods in Suiza, they control about 70% of the fluid milk supply in the whole country. And you don't think those guys, with their connections first in Texas to the Bush family and then nationally to whoever they could influence, and they've influenced this thing to a fairly well, to the point that the white stuff that's liquid that you buy in the grocery store, for the most part, is liquid water. It's junk. It's garbage. And you can go across the spectrum, whether it's vegetables or whether it's meat, whatever produce it is. And the government has made these companies bigger by giving them more money in a sense that they don't need because they're making massive profits anyway. There's nothing wrong with profits, but go ahead.
And also refusing to enforce the antitrust laws. And this is a place also where the Farm Bill can intervene in the system. They held hearings, the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Justice across a number of different sectors, poultry, livestock production, seed ownership, around the United States, and they made some recommendations in this last Farm Bill to begin to make these markets, make these monopolies change the way they control pricing, the way they control contracts with farmers, but they have not been enforced just
no.
because, as you say, these powerful alliances, the big dairy, beef producers, poor producers have so much influence in the rule writing that they the changes have not been enforced. So this idea of going to your local level, right, whatever that would be, and begin to influence the process from the bottom up, I think, is so important.
Yeah, it really is, and it is the bottom up. But a lot of the stuff starts at the top now, and that's why, again, using dairy as a reference, the reason so many dairy farmers are going out of business is because the food, the dairy bill has distorted in the various regions of the country. There are rules that have been made, and they apply. This is what you will get paid by the company that's buying your milk instead of the market just being out there on the market. It's us being told what we're going to get paid, and we don't get paid enough to sustain ourselves. We'll continue our conversation. Exactly. It's the exact opposite. Danny Limhoff, who's the author of Food Fight, is here with us on Good Day Weekend.
He wanted to be known for doing his best.
You're right.
His best made him Major League Baseball's most valuable player.
Right, too.
He played in 6 World Series and was elected to the Hall of Fame. Although an honest man, he was best at stealing home.
Save.
But the best quality of Jackie Robinson's life was his character. So here's to you, Mr. Robinson. Thanks for passing it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Values.com.
Hey, dog, where's your owner?
Watching Netflix.
Yeah?
He can instantly watch as many TV episodes and movies as he wants online.
Well, I know what you did on my lawn, and it's not funny.
It is to kids.
Well, what are their parents supposed to laugh at?
The sophisticated jokes. You know, like, that dog chasing his tail reminds me of politicians.
Instantly watch as many TV episodes and movies as your family wants on all kinds of devices for only $8 a month with Netflix. Start your free trial today. See terms of use.
With over 900,000 products and 31 product categories, some people would say Grainger has everything but the kitchen sink. Of course, those people would be wrong, because sinks are among the over 900,000 products Grainger offers to help keep your business up and running, along with belt sanders, baseboard heaters, duct tape, tissue paper, reversible air drills, and, well, you get the idea, most everything. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
This is your Daily High, and I'm Andy Greenberg, and let's all root for the home team. The home team, that's the one that we want to root for, especially when we live in a city and we go to a sporting championship or we go to a sporting game or an arena or even perhaps a little league game or something along those lines. We all get together and we want our team to win. Ever wonder why? It's not really because we want them to win, believe it or not, but psychologists say that we do not want to be associated with a loser. And that's why we root and root for our home team to be the victorious ones in some type of a contest. Now, what about life? Do we want to associate with losers? Is that why we want to be winners? Part of that answer is yes. We should not allow ourselves to be associated with losers. We always want to win for the sake of winning, for the sake of coming out and showing our talents. This is Andy Greenberg. Enjoy your Daily High.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com, utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
And now another CentOS Game Changer with sports broadcaster Aaron Andrews.
I'm here at my favorite car rental in sunny Miami. With me is the manager, Beth. I see your team has a new look for the season.
Yeah, they just got uniforms, and my female employees are especially excited about the great styles. This flat out wasn't an option when men's uniforms were the only choice.
Well, it seems these young ladies are really hustling out here. What made the change for you?
Yeah, well, our playbook hinged on one big detail, women's workwear by CentOS. These clothes are designed by women for women. When they look good, they're happier, and our guests notice.
Well, judging by their extra effort, this team is going to the next level with CentOS uniforms. Let's go up to the booth for more.
Finally, a line of women's workwear they want to wear. This is one of many expert services CentOS can tackle for your business. Don't settle for less. Call CentOS at 1-800-CINTAS-6 or visit CentOS.com/radio and tell them to bring in the team with the white truck.
All right, 53 after the hour now, the Good Day Weekend program. Phil Lempert is back in the fold. We're talking to Daniel Imhoff, who is the author of Food Fight, the government's involvement in the food that you eat and how they allow it to be messed up. Now here, Daniel, before I throw it back to Phil, I want you to hear something that I just, while we're having the conversation, I belong to the National Farmers Union, and the president sends out email every day or two or three, talking about what's going on in government. And so the context of today's email has to do with part of the farm bill. And the guy's name is Roger Johnson, very good guy, dairy farmer from North Dakota, who has now become the director of the National Farmers Union. And they're there to lobby for farmers. And he says renewable energy is the future of the rural economy. And so the NFU, is calling on Congress to continue investing in rural America through farm bill energy programs like Rural Energy for America program, Biomass Crop Assistance Program, Biorefinery Assistance Program. I mean, these things go on and on. They have nothing to do with food. Phil was just pointing out a minute ago that the Department of Agriculture sends out email 10 times a day, and maybe 1 out of 10 actually has anything to do with food. The rest of it is all this stuff that, you know, becomes part of the government's way of managing everybody's life. It's
However,
sick.
Before we get on to that, what I want to ask Daniel is, and both of you, what can we do to get people to want to be farmers? Because we can talk all we want about big farms, doing all this stuff. But when I talk to people and say, you know, what about thinking about being a farmer? Nobody wants to be a farmer.
I'm not sure.
I don't think many people want to be a farmer like a big commodity farmer.
No, but even small farmers today. You know, I talk to so many farmers who have to sell their property just to have some kind of funding for their kids or their grandchildren, that they've had these family farms for, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 generations, and finally they just give up and they sell this great land for condos.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's amazing. You look at the American farmer and what it is in the American psyche, right? It's far different than the reality that it is today. And today you have, you know, the aging farmers over 55 that run the farms. They outnumber people under 35, 7 or 8 to 1. So we have this huge farmer deficit, as you've said. Part of it is because it costs so much to get into farming that a young person, if they're not inheriting a farm or some huge amount of money, they just have no way to enter into that kind of farming. And another is that they just don't want it. They don't want to deal with the regulations. They don't want to deal with the public outcry. They don't want to become beholden to Monsanto. However, you do have a lot of young people who want to go into farming. They just don't want to go into the kind of farming that, you know, the big farmers are doing today. They can't do it, and they don't want it. They want something different. They want to raise, you know, pastured poultry. They have raw milk. They want to have value-added products and have direct interactions with people. A lot of these huge commodity farmers, they're really coming out of a manufacturing mentality that came up in the last century, where they're just trying to produce as much as possible and sell it to, you know, the biggest person who will buy it.
It's a lot, and
they're really not producing food. They're producing feed for cattle and materials to make, you know, biofuel. Really, 40% of the corn goes to make ethanol right now.
All right, let me do my additional comment on that, Phil. It has to do with there's two kinds of farmers coming along today. There are folks in family farms, places like Iowa and Nebraska, some places in Pennsylvania, where land can be distributed to the family and the sons and daughters keep it going. That is happening to a certain extent. But there's another crew of people who have come mostly from the city. They don't have a lot of practical knowledge. They've educated themselves, and they know what they want. They know what's healthy, and they're not always, they're well-intentioned, but they're not well-informed or schooled. Those people are part of the future as well. So it's a two-step process. One of the things Mr. Imhoff has done here in the book, Food Fight, is to call our attention to this sort of thing, and it's up to us now individually to kind of rally around. We need the family farmer. We need farmers to be to keep the land, and unfortunately, in parts of the country like where I am, it is, the pressure is on. The pressure is on me to sell my land to get it developed, and you know that's what I'm fighting. It's a very difficult situation. Everybody should know more about it, and therefore you can take action. Thank you, Mr. Imhoff. Again, the book is called Food Fight. Phil, thank you. Phil Lemper, the supermarket guru, supermarketguru.com. 59. Introduce.